The guards trembled and became like dead men. What an interesting image. These tough guards.
I mean, these are as tough as people get on the face of the planet. These tough guards set to guard the tomb there. And an angel appears and simply sits on the rock that was in front of his tomb, and the guards drop from fright. They faint away. These tough old guys faint away. They're not even in the presence of God. This is just an angel of God. And so think what power and what majesty there is in the God who is the creator of the universe. If simply one of his messengers, what angel means, the word means messenger, a simple messenger from God, in the presence of that messenger, these tough guards faint dead away. This is a season. Easter Day, which is today, is a day in which we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his power and his majesty. That's why the altar is decorated as it is, with flowers and lights and color. We celebrate today that power and that majesty. But it didn't begin here. It didn't begin in light and power and majesty. It began on a very dark day, on Friday, when your sins and my sins nailed him to a cross. And when he died on that cross, and the sky became dark, and an earthquake trembled across the land, and the curtain in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem, that huge curtain, was torn from top to bottom. It began on a very dark day. This Friday in this church, many of us were present for a Good Friday evening service, very solemn and somber. And at the end of that service, all of us were invited, as we wished, to stay behind and pray. All of this was gone. All of the altar here, all of the candles, everything was gone. All that remained up there was that cross. And everyone, as far as I know, that was here that night stayed behind and knelt and prayed, or stood and prayed before that cross, and confessed there before the one who died for us what we had done and the way we had sinned. Then eventually everyone left and went home, and I stayed behind for a while and prayed, and in time found myself on my face before that cross. And I say this in no way to bring honor to myself, because I was on my face not because I deserved honor, but because I was in sin. And the Lord came and visited with me in that time, and he convicted me of the ways in which I have failed, the ways in which I've failed this congregation, the ways in which I have failed in his ministry. Many people have heard about Church of the Resurrection in the course of the last 2 years. We have people in this congregation today who heard about us in Tennessee and came here. We have people who have heard about us in many places and come here. The bishop of this church told me just last week how pleased he was with all of the growth and excitement and success that was going on at Resurrection. And I said, thank you. This church has grown like crazy in the couple of years that I've been here. And I realized Friday night on my face because the Lord, the Creator of the universe, was gracious enough to help me realize this. That I was looking at my reputation
when those words were given to me by the bishop when he thanked me for what I had done. That it was my reputation that I was honoring. And I didn't say something to the bishop when he thanked me. I failed to tell him about the ways that we have fallen down, the things that we haven't done here, and the things I haven't done here. I just took the congratulations and left it at that. But the truth is, we have failed, and I have failed you. I've written about this a bit in the Resurrection Reader, which is out, but I want to be more explicit about it this morning. Last fall, we began a pledge drive, as virtually every church on this planet begins at that time of year. And we asked the members of this congregation to pledge money from their income each week or each month or each year, and to tell us what they expected that to be in the year to come. And then the church normally builds a budget from that and decides what it's going to be able to do in the year ahead and what it isn't going to be able to do. And in fact, I'll tell you that because we had a budget last year, we failed to do some things that God wanted us to do. We had some outreach before us, and I talked about this before, and we had set aside just $300 for outreach. And so when those needs came up, and two people came to us, each of whom needed more than $300 to satisfy their needs, we said, no, we only have $300, and so we divided it. We gave 150 to one group and 150 to the other, and then we were satisfied with ourselves because we felt that we had met our obligation with what we had, because we had set a budget. And so when the Lord talked to us last fall, he told us that he didn't want pledges from us this year, and he didn't want us to have a budget. Rather, what he wanted us to do was go to him in prayer, week by week, and say, Lord, what would you have me give? Or when our paychecks come, to go to him with that paycheck and say, Lord, what would you have me give to this body of Christ of which I am a part, for its mission in the world, and for the people that it must reach that haven't been reached yet with the gospel, and for its pantry and for its outreach? Lord, what would you have me give? And I promised at that time that because we wouldn't have a budget and because we wouldn't ask people to pledge, unheard of, that because we wouldn't ask people to pledge, that I would come before you regularly and I would say, here's what we need, folks, just to meet our operating costs each month. And here's what we need for outreach. And here's what we need for missionary work in Kenya. Here's what we need for evangelism in West Chicago and in DuPage County. And I have failed to do that. I have not kept that promise to you. I have not kept my part of that covenant. I have not come before you and revealed those needs. And I could have 100, 1,000 excuses for it. But the truth is that I sinned in not keeping up that promise. And the Lord revealed that to me. He also revealed to me that I was relying on my abilities, marketing abilities, preaching abilities, my ability to do exegesis and look at the Greek underlying the text and reveal to you what it was. I was relying upon my abilities to see this congregation grow so that you might each show up on Sunday morning ready for another terrific sermon from the terrific preacher who did terrific exegesis, and it would keep you coming back for more. God said, you, George, are not the reason that I have called these people together. And it is not your skill or ability which will keep them coming back.
That cross is the reason this congregation is called together. And the one who died on it is the reason this congregation is called together. And so he convicted me of my arrogance and my belief that this was about me, when it's all about him. And when he convicted me of that, I realized that if I had failed as a pastor, he had every right, if he chose, to take that pastorate from me. And every right. And I confessed that sin to him. On my face, I confessed that sin. And I knew that when I got up, that if it was his will that he take everything he had given to me away, that it was his right. And I must grant him that right. No matter how bad I wanted it, I must grant him that right. And here's what he did. I confessed my sins before him, and he washed me clean. Washed me clean. He took away every spot, and he washed me clean, and he forgave me. And he said, I have called you to be a pastor. I have not promised that you would be perfect. You can't be perfect. I have not promised that you wouldn't sin. You can't be without sin. And don't stand in front of your congregation and ever let them believe that you can be without sin. Because it's a lie, and you mislead them. What you must call them to do is what I have called all of my children to do, and that is to confess our sins and repent. And if they do, I will wash them clean. That is what it is all about. I will wash them clean. I must tell you also that in the way I have sinned against God and against this congregation, all of us have also sinned. We have not gone before the Lord each week or each month, or as that paycheck arrived and said, Lord, what would you have me do? We've just gone on. That's why the donations in this church have gone down the last couple of months. None of us have been faithful. Well, maybe some. God knows who they are. I don't, because I don't look at the donations of this church. I have failed. I haven't done this. I confess to you, I have not done this. And many of us haven't done this. And the evidence is in the way we have failed to support the ministry of this church. Now, I will ask you not to attempt to comfort me. Not when this service is over to say, George, you've been a good pastor to me. You preached well. It's all okay. It's not okay. If it was okay, God wouldn't have convicted me about it. It's not okay. And in the ways in which each of us have failed, it's not okay. The ways in which each of us have sinned in our lives, whether it's in our relationships, in our drinking, in our bitterness towards each other, in our not getting what we want and being angry about it, it's not okay. We've sinned. And we need to come before God on our faces or on our knees and repent. And he will be faithful to us. And he will forgive us. And he will wash us clean. He will wash us clean. Now, normally the confession of sin in this church comes a little bit later, but I'm going to ask everybody to open your prayer books. Turn to page 360.
What's on there is the confession of sin. I'm going to ask us to take a few minutes here before we pray. And in this silence, like every head here bowed, I want you to ask God to bring to your heart, and I'll ask Him to bring to mine, every area of my life where I have not done as He called me to do, where I have been bitter, where I have been angry and unforgiving, where I have abused my body, where I have abused others, and every area of my life where I have not given of myself as He would require of me. Lord, I ask You to just bring that before all of our hearts. And now, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's go to our knees and confess.